Welcome to Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lorenzo.
And welcome to this week's Thoughtful Thursday. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Hacking Your Leadership and leave us a review on iTunes. Also, please check out our YouTube and Patreon pages. The links are in the podcast description below. On this week's Thoughtful Thursday, I want to talk about something that is starting to kind of pop up in a lot of places. And believe it or not, there was a LinkedIn article about it yesterday by Rachel Feinzeig through the Wall Street Journal called The Pain of the Never-Ending Work Check-In. And this one kind of hit home for me a little bit because I have, in my consulting practice, have worked with managers and leaders who are struggling with trying to figure out the right kind of interval to have check-ins with their people. And some of them are finding that the pandemic has caused them to kind of try to fill their schedule with these things. And sometimes they are taking them away from actually doing the job. It's like the old saying, I'm so busy doing my job that I forget to do my job. So I'm wondering, is this something that's happened to you? Have you felt like people wanting to connect with you more than they did before because of the pandemic, or are things kind of sliding into place here?
For sure. I think that, you know, 2020 became the year of virtual connections and touch bases for a lot of different reasons. And I think that there's, you know, we've learned that there's probably some good value in maintaining some type of a cadence and staying connected with people and that type of thing. But I also think that in a lot of the articles and things that I've been reading, it can also be tough because, you know, are you really giving people enough time and space to work on things, to grow, to develop, to, you know, to basically, we all say like we don't want to be micromanaged, but like a part of having touch bases and connections too often is actually kind of like micromanaging. It's not allowing somebody to do what they're going to just do naturally without you maybe over their shoulder. So I absolutely believe that it can be very overwhelming. I think more recently, a lot of those things have pulled back somewhat, which has been good in a lot of different industries. But I also think that there are many industries, especially those that may be like were already work from home potentially, and then having more of a workforce go to work from home, having to build out this more structured cadence of communication. I think many of those specifically are probably finding themselves in places where it just feels like all day long I'm in nothing but meetings. So I see it both ways. I think that there's definitely some things that we can get from a value standpoint in staying that well connected, but also being over connected, I think is also probably stifling people's ability to just kind of do their thing, to grow, to develop, and challenge themselves.
Yeah, that's true. I'm thinking about like a kind of like a corporate work environment that used to be completely in person and then went to completely virtual. And now maybe there's this little bit of a hybrid, or maybe it's up to each employee, or you kind of each organization's kind of feeling that those waters out themselves. And thinking about how, you know, there were a lot of studies that came out during the pandemic that said that the length of meetings is dropping significantly and the quantity of meetings is rising significantly. And on its surface, that's actually a really good thing. I mean, if you think about how meetings were scheduled prior to 2020, a lot of times it was, well, we don't want to add a meeting to somebody's schedule for 15 minutes. It's like, again, meeting's an hour. So an hour or 2 hours or whatever it is. So let's fill the time. And so you have whatever that agenda item is that might be 15 or 20 minutes of it, and then you find other things to fill the space because you don't want to ask people to put a 15-minute meeting in the middle of their day, and you don't want to and you don't have enough content basically to give to the group that would last an hour. And so you're filling things with stuff that could have been emails. And that was frustrating for a lot of people. So people reported kind of this like this relief, like, wow, I feel like all of my meetings with people, all my check-ins with people are really productive because none of them are 30 minutes or an hour anymore. Some of them are 5 minutes. Some of them are 12 minutes, whatever it is. It's almost like the water cooler has been moved virtually. And so now we can kind of really get to the meat of what we're looking to do in this short period of time and then go back to what we were doing. That is all a very good thing. When it becomes a problem is when you don't realize that you might only be asking for one thing with a person, but there might be 30 other people who are also doing it. And so as a person who has to manage a calendar for themselves, I've been in situations where people have requested meetings with me, and it ends up being like these 15 or 30 minute meetings that go back to back to back to back to back. And even though they can see my calendar and see, oh, there's a spot here, they don't see the divide. They don't see like that there's seven meetings in this spot. They just see there's a space. Let's just take this space. And so it becomes this thing where I don't ever have any time sometimes to, you know, take good notes about what I did afterwards, or to do the work that I talked about with these people within the meeting, because it's just literally meeting after meeting after meeting. The kind of person that I am, that feels good in the moment. I love connecting with people. I love talking with people. But oftentimes I'll get to the end of an 8 or 10 hour work day and feel very productive that I talk to a lot of people, but now it's like, all right, now time to get work done. Well, wait, now the work day's over, and now that becomes a 12 or 14 hour work day to actually get the work done. So I can see both sides of this too. I know for me, sometimes it's hard to figure out ways to say no to people to make sure that my schedule is built around things that are the most important to me. So as a leader, people whose focus is on their people and on growth and development of your people, I want to ask you, how do you find ways of saying no and prioritizing things so that your schedule doesn't get filled up with the busy stuff and you actually have time to sit down with your people and fill your day with what's actually important? But first, I want to give it up to a word from our sponsors. All right, Lorenzo, so give us the tips. What is it that you do to make sure that you have time to focus on what's really important in your schedule when it comes to your people, and that your schedule is not being filled up with these little check-ins and meetings by people who don't understand what the core of your job needs to be?
Yeah, well, a couple things. I think first and foremost is I actually build in sometimes blockers, especially when I'm seeing a week or a couple of days where it is starting to fill up. So I try to catch it on the front end and put blockers in that I know is just open space that allows me to either schedule the touch bases or meetings that I need to have and or just be available to my people or to my leaders. I think another thing is just when people ask for the time, I'm not a huge fan of just put it on my calendar without any context. So I don't necessarily open up that whole just put it on my calendar and we'll connect. I, in the moment, will ask if somebody's looking for time. Of course you can have some time. You know, is this something that you need now or something, you know, later on? And about how much time do you need? I always like to preface and understand what it is that they're looking for to make sure that I can meet it in urgency if it's something that needs to happen right now or today, or something that can be planned out. And I like to have a better idea of how much time they're looking for so that I can be, you know, transparent with them on my time and how we can spend the time. So I just think that those are, you know, tips and tricks that I've learned over the years to make sure that I'm actually in charge of my schedule and that I have a good grasp around how and where I spend my time. But at the same time, my people have the accessibility to book the time that they need when they need it.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's something we've talked about in the past too, is that just making sure a person you're meeting with knows what the agenda is in advance, because, you know, I'm sure it probably doesn't feel good too if you say yes to somebody meeting with you, you have no idea what it's about. They pitch it to you in that meeting, or they tell you what's going on, or they ask you for advice on something, and now you don't have an answer for them because you've never thought about it, because it was not on your radar prior to this exact moment in time. So just making sure a person you're about to meet with knows what you're meeting with about, and there are no surprises, it gives them time to prepare for that and to be able to have answers ready if you are going to ask them questions. Because sometimes these answers aren't things that can just come up on the fly. They aren't necessarily objective things. You could be asking for some opinions on things. I think where a lot of leaders, you know, run afoul with this is that they're trying to index high on empathy. They're trying to meet their people where they are from an empathetic standpoint, trying to make sure that they can check in with them kind of virtually on a video call, because normally we have that in an interaction in the office. You know, we're walking around people. We can see if somebody's in a good mood or a bad mood, if something's bothering them or not. And so the things that become emails, the emails become very, you know, very, you know, they're rooted in, I have a job to get done, let's get the job done. If the relationship is relegated only to that, then it's like losing all of your senses in terms of how to socially interact and being relegated only to the written form, which is just not enough unless you have a truly intimate relationship with a person and you can kind of almost read through their text. In most situations, when I lead teams of people, I don't know people well enough on my teams to be able to know if something's bothering them or something's wrong in their personal life based on email communications. People doctor that stuff up all the time. They put their best foot forward. I need to have that in-person interaction. Where I think a lot of leaders might come out of this in a positive way is that we've had to really kind of like harness the power of being able to read people through these little interactions over Zoom and calls like this. I think that we assumed we could do this in person just by passing somebody in the hall before. And we weren't always that great at doing it. We just thought that, oh, if there's an issue, it'll come to light. It'll kind of drop itself in my lap, so to speak. And they didn't. They just kind of festered and got worse over time. Now we're looking for them because we're intentionally meeting with people trying to get there. I think where leaders can do really well with this kind of process of getting back into an in-person workforce is to really think about what were the things you were looking for. Why did you really try to connect with people to try to figure out what was going on because you didn't want to miss something? And to put that as kind of like the front of what you're trying to do when you meet with people going forward, as opposed to just, oh, this is about performance, this is about job, and if there's another issue, it'll just, you know, magically come to the surface. It won't. You had to look for it before. You'll probably still have to look for it in the future.
Yeah, I think another thing to take note of is just making sure that we don't confuse like busyness with like effectiveness.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of times it can feel like if my day is filled and I have a lot of conversations and touch bases that I accomplished a lot today. But to your point, if the content, if the conversation, if the dialogue isn't really dialed in specific, has an agenda, and is more than just a means of just connecting with somebody, if there's no real kind of, you know, meat to the bone when it comes to that type of conversation, then I think that it is just wasted time and wasted breath. You know, that's kind of where I would challenge people to consider that is if you see that you have a full calendar, really look through and like, what are the things that must absolutely be talked about and discussed? And then what are the things that just feel like they're on there for the sake of being on there? And take an opportunity to maybe look there first as you think about opening up, you know, your calendar and your availability to your people.
Yeah, I totally agree. It goes back to a Stephen Covey thing, the Seven Habits guy. The main thing is to keep the main thing, you know, to spend most of your day on the things that are most important. I know Scott O'Neill talked about this. He's the CEO of the Philadelphia 76ers. In my interview with him a couple of months ago, this is what we talked about, is the importance of making sure that the day is filled with the things that truly matter. And sometimes, you know, it's easy to plan your week that way in advance, but I challenge a lot of people, go look at what your week looked like last week after it actually happened, not when you're in the planning phases of it, and look at the amount of time that you spent on the things that actually matter, the things that are most important to your job, and see. I would guess for a lot of people, it's less than 50% of your time was spent on things that you really should have been doing, that it really could have been somebody else doing it, or it could have been accomplished in an email conversation as opposed to checking in.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to the end of this episode. This is Hacking Leadership. I'm Lorenzo.
And I'm Chris.
And have a great day.